Well, good morning. As you'll settle in with us this morning, I'm going to be praying for us in just a moment. But as I pray, I'm going to be praying some declarations for us this morning. Whether or not you understand or realize what I'm getting ready to say, it is a truth. In the last days, this last week or weeks, the world, the flesh, and the evil one has either attempted or has been successful in stealing, killing, and destroying in your life. Your mind has probably been racing. There's been fears that have assaulted you. There's been news that has overwhelmed you. And there's been uncertainty that has paralyzed you. But my God says He is sovereign. My God says, I am walking with you in these circumstances. My God says He loves me and He shepherds me. My God says He cares for my heart and He'll tend to it. My God says He'll renew my mind. And I believe those things. My emotions sometimes try to trick me and my feelings want me to follow them at times. But I stand on a firm foundation called Jesus the Christ, my cornerstone. And this morning as I get ready to look through some scriptures for us, I want you to declare that Jesus is Lord of your life, if that's what you mean. And that He is here to renew, He is to restore, He is here to breathe life on you. Are you ready to receive the life that He is offering? I'm not going to make you some empty promise that after you do these things and you pull up your bank account, there was more money there than there was before. I'm not going to make some empty promise that says tomorrow the person that you have to deal with at work, the person you have to deal with in the mirror is going to be a lot different. But I am going to declare to you today that God is working in you to work through you, to see His kingdom advance. Because when Jesus was asked about His kingdom, He says, the kingdom is near. I see a lot of nearness of the kingdom of God. So let's pray. Father, we do declare today out loud, so our flesh and our world and the evil knows that we serve the one true living God. We serve because we make a choice. We do not serve because we have to, but because we get to, but because we love to and we want to. Father, the love that You have been pouring into us this week, Father, it's probably been attacked in a variety of ways. Probably been manipulated. Lord, some of us have heard this whisper this week. How could someone love You? We destroy that lie in the name of Jesus. We are loved. We've been bought at a great price. It was bought out of love. It was bought in love. And Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, come and pour Yourself on us. This time is very brief. Father, what are you tapping on our hearts about today? God, all the things that are swirling around us, personally, however they may be coming towards us, Father, I'm not asking You to change. I'm asking You to change us. But how do we cooperate? How do we submit? How do we surrender to that today, Father? I'm praying we be willing to surrender. Not hold anything back. God, I thank You that You don't hold anything back. You don't hold back in love. You don't hold back in mercy. You don't hold back in grace. Father, You just pour all those things on us. You protect us in ways that we do not even know. You provide for us in ways we do not even understand or acknowledge at times. But Father, we declare that Jesus is Lord of our lives and Lord of this place. In His name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to continue talking about as you go. And most of us go a lot of different places, a lot of different ways every week. I'm not just talking about physical this morning, by the way. I'm talking about mental. I'm talking about emotional. We travel a lot every day. Whether you ever leave your house on any given day, you're still traveling somewhere. I travel a lot every day. I did not realize that until I actually paid attention to the mileage of my vehicle. And there's been plenty of times in my life that I've traveled and I got lost. And one of the first things I do when I get lost is I do not stop and ask for directions, because I just can look on my phone. But most often, what I really do is I stop and I look and see if there's anything familiar around me. I want to see if where I am, what's going on around me. I want to take notice of where I am and what I'm doing in those moments. In America, getting lost is one thing, but getting lost in an international country is a totally different thing, because there's not a lot that looks familiar, and most often, there's nobody there that actually speaks my language, especially my accent. And so as I am going through life, as I go, you have gone somewhere this week, but you're still going to be going. And I want you to think about a few things this morning before I read some scriptures to you. Is your heart open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit? I didn't ask, do you want the Holy Spirit to guide you? I ask, are you open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Are you open to responding to God's voice in your life that I trust that you really are hearing, even if you believe you're not hearing it, you are hearing in some form? Are you teachable this morning? Because God is in full teaching mode. God is up to a lot of things in this earth, and I want to join Him in every detail of it. So we're going to walk through a scripture this morning from Galatians. I'm just going to walk through it gently, because it has some brutal words in it in just a moment. Paul writes to brothers and sisters into a region called Galatia. And I believe this morning, even though this letter is about 2,000 years old, I believe it can be as fresh as we want it to be this morning, because I believe it is very applicable to where we live in today's time. And so as we get ready to look at this scripture, may God enlighten you as to what He is saying to you and how He is unfolding His plan in your life. Because while I believe most of you at this moment are breathing, I didn't say all of you, while I believe most of you are breathing, God is still exercising His plan in your life. Let's have a teachable spirit that says we want to join Him. So Paul writes to us this morning, the Sycamore Church, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Called to be free. It's a calling from God. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. As we go, we want to walk in the Spirit and love. Love. Paul is reminding the church, he is reminding the Sycamore Church today, to love. But if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. A lot of tension in our lives every day, isn't there? Anybody escaped any tension this week? Anybody remove themselves emotionally to the point where they've lost the ability to feel? We live in a culture that does that very well. So I say, walk by the Spirit. When he references walking by the Spirit there, he is talking literally as you go through life. Literally as you walk, as you drive down the road, as you walk through stores, as you walk through workplaces, as you're walking through life, literally walking where you go. Be aware of what your flesh is trying to do as it battles the Spirit in you. Be aware. Be consciously alert. The story you are telling as you walk in the Spirit. Don't bite and devour. And he's not just talking about Christian to Christian. He's commanding the Christians to be wary of how they treat others. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. that tension. Look at that tension there. But you know, I want to point out something that I think a lot of us struggle with sometimes, whether or not we recognize it, and that there's a third option. There's no third option in that scripture. It's either the flesh or it's the spirit, but there's not option C. I'm going to navigate my way into option C. I'm going to find a way to have a little bit of flesh and a little bit of spirit. I'm going to figure out a way to kind of walk in both worlds. Paul says to the church, the Sycamore church, no. There is tension, but there's not a third option. They're in conflict with each other. There is a real battle. We spent months back in the fall talking about the battle for our hearts, the battle for our lives, the battle. There's another acknowledgement by Paul, the apostle, today saying there's a battle. So as you go, we can experience freedom, but we also experience the battle. You can have freedom. You don't have to have garbage thinking. You don't have to succumb to fleshly desires. You don't have to live in addiction. You don't have to live out of bitterness or unforgiveness. As you go, you can experience freedom. As you go, you can experience the battle with the flesh too. Are you going to choose how you fight, who you fight with, who you fight for, as you walk in the Spirit? But understanding that Paul is completely honest. There's no sugarcoating this. Truth is, in my opinion, that probably should be in bold. And for those who don't know about how you get messages in bold through your phone, whether it be texting or maybe you get emails, when someone bolds something, in essence, they're yelling. They're raising their voice. And I think if you were listening to Paul's voice today, I think he would say, they are in conflict with each other. So that you are not just going to walk through life not experiencing it. Because as we go, others need to see what we do to be victorious. So others can see what we do to be victorious. And finally, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not living in conflict out of religion. You're living in a relationship with the one true living God. You're experiencing the Word of God. You're not reading the Word of God. You're experiencing the presence of God through prayer, through fellowship, through community, through discipleship. It's not head knowledge. It's life transformation that's a heart healing, a heart renewing, a breathing on. There's a dynamic. I know these are just words on a screen today, and I know I'm just communicating through some words, but there's a dynamic life-giving element to these words today. If you're led by the Spirit, we're not under religion. I'm not concerned if I do enough of the do's and not too many of the don'ts. I'm good. I'm in because Jesus is Lord of my life. And I want to live a life that doesn't just please Him. I want to live a life that's so close to Him that I can sense and feel and experience His presence. Driving down the road, being by myself in so many different ways. So many different ways. When God speaks, it's in love. If you're led by the Spirit, you are not going to succumb to religion. So Paul gives us that. And then Paul shifts gears. Remember I told you there's not a gray area? He shifts gears. And he says in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, this is one continuous scripture I'm reading to you this morning, but in the middle of it, I changed versions on you. I went from NIV to the Message, because I think these words, I think they'll get your attention. So if you're asleep, it's time to wake up. Because here's what Paul says. This is kind of the, Kathy doesn't use this language, but Kathy just speaks directly to me sometimes, and she uses words that are uplifting, but challenging, but I get the point. And that these are challenging, these are uplifting, but you should get the point. Paul says, it's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. It's obvious to those around you, and it's obvious to the believer, the non-believer. It's obvious to God. It's obvious to the Holy Spirit. It's obvious to the person in the mirror. All the time, repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. Told you to get your attention. a striking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. How much garbage is in your mind today? Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions. Ugly parodies of community. I could go on. Do you really want to go on living by the flesh? This isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. You will not have the opportunity to be close to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That list that Paul gives to the church, he gives that to the church, reminding them that when you're walking with the Spirit of God, that life is dead. That life is dead. A momentary slip up, a momentary lapse, grace and mercy is there to receive you. But a continuous life that way, you say, time out, am I really in? Am I really in? As you go, you can experience freedom. You can experience the battle with the flesh. And you might be battling some of this today. But it requires honesty. It requires an integrity that says, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. And maybe you haven't dwelt any of these areas, but maybe you know somebody and God's calling you to battle for them. You're to battle for their lives. You're to battle for their marriages. You're to battle for their children. You're to battle for their legacy. Maybe that person that you work with, you hang out with, that you live around, maybe God has you in proximity because the kingdom of God in you is near them. And he's saying, I want to work through you to destroy the works of the flesh by how the Spirit comes out of you as you go. And then Paul finishes his thought in chapter 5. He says, but you know the fruit that you're supposed to bear, the fruit that you're supposed to give off, the fruit that the world's supposed to see? It's this simple. It's got some love. It's got some joy. It's got some peace. It's got some forbearance. Some versions use long-suffering. Kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Because those are born out of a relationship, not through religion. You could read your Bible from cover to cover in 18 different versions and speak in tongues the whole time, but you can still miss the essence of abiding in the Spirit of God and miss the relationship part. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one each other. As you go, I told you can experience freedom. I told you can experience the battle. I told you also now that you can live and walk in the Spirit. And now I tell you that you can produce the fruit of the Spirit. There's some things I want to point out to you about the fruit. It's fragile. It reproduces itself. It's attractive and it nourishes. One of the things I pray for myself all the time is this. God, when I go somewhere, I want to be life and I want to leave life. I don't want to leave this life. Make sure you hear what I just said. Now, there's some people that probably, they'd like to help me leave this life sometimes, okay? But when I go somewhere producing the fruit of the Spirit, part of that is a prayer that says, God, today I want to abide with you so I can be a fruit producer. Fruit is fragile. Fruit isn't achieved by working, but it's birthed by abiding. Jesus said something in John 15, chapter 15, verse 4. It's very appropriate for us today. He said, remain in me and I'll remain in you. And together we're going to produce godly fruit. That's living a life that's producing life. Probably most of you in this room have somebody in your life that you really do dread being around them. You really don't look forward to seeing them. Sometimes you probably do a lot of things to avoid them. Maybe you just bold-faced lie to avoid them. Or if you're a good Christian and you're a parent, maybe you pray that one of your kids gets sick so you don't have to see them. Or you just exaggerate something. But how would God work in your life, in my life today, as I went through life and said, I want to be a life giver. I want to abide. See, the second time that Paul uses the word walking in the Spirit or walking with the Spirit, it's not the same as just going through life. He is saying, in essence, that which you or those that you abide with will therefore help you produce this fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand today that that is a singular term, the fruit of the Spirit. This is not a reference to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, meant to give life, meant to embolden others. It also helps us to understand that when our flesh takes over, but that we are not loving as God intended for us to love. As a matter of fact, the works of the flesh pervert the love of God, where the fruit of the Spirit exudes the love of God, shows the love of God. So as you go, you can experience freedom. You can experience the battle with the flesh, but you can be victorious. You can choose to live and walk in the Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit and to shepherd others along the way. I think something that's very tough that we must recognize this morning is Paul said to do something with the works of the flesh. He said to crucify it. He didn't say kill it. He said crucify it. In essence, he is saying, remember what Jesus did with your sins? You need to do that with the works of your flesh, to crucify them, to nail them to a cross and say, I don't want anything to do with them. Take them away from me. I want to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit as I go through this life. As I am walking, as I am going, even if it's somewhere mental, most of us have a tendency to go down the toilet with our thinking and not heavenly minded with our thinking. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was at the gym I go to, and they have a pretty good sized locker room, but the tough part about it, for me, I don't always remember where I put my stuff. So about 2 weeks ago, I was convinced someone had stolen my clothes. Now, I'm a sharp dresser. So hold on a second. Any comments from this side of the room about that? I really was convinced someone had stolen my clothes. Didn't bother me about the clothes. It bothered me because my car keys were in the pants. Of course, they were right where I'd left them. In my 18th choice of a locker. So I changed my strategy. Kate goes to the same one I go to. No, I got smarter than that. There's one that has the number one. So I decided from now on, I'm going to use number one. So remember that in a few weeks when I say, I forgot that I'd put it in number one. But in that moment, I was panicking. And I had gone from simply losing my clothes being stolen with my keys in the pocket to, oh my gosh, what am I going to do about this? But the real driving force, to be honest with you, I was embarrassed. Shame was already creeping in over something about some clothes that I would never really miss. And I'd already planned just to call Uber to take me home to get another set of keys so someone can bring me back. I tell you that true, but silly, but whatever story, to tell you that most people I know struggle getting past, can you experience freedom, experience the battle with the flesh, live and walk in the Spirit, because they live under the weight of shame. Because that list from the middle scripture that Paul is very blunt with, there's some struggle. Maybe you have done it. Maybe you are doing it. Maybe you think about doing it. And you just can't break free. And you know that it comes out in your attitude. You know that the fruit of the Spirit being bore out in your life, there's just that constant tension, and it's a tremendous struggle. And that you know you want to experience a closer relationship with God, but there's this tug, this tension that just doesn't allow you to surrender all that you want to surrender. And God says, I'm ready when you're ready. We don't have to play the mental gymnastics. We don't have to play the games. I'm not going to play hide and seek from you. I'm very ready to be found. I want to be found. And I want you to walk in the Spirit as you go. I want you to be able to face tomorrow with the certainty that I really am with you. And that news that comes from bad or good or so forth and so on. I was telling Kathy this the other day. We were just talking in general. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 years. I said, but I do know there'll be good news. There'll be living and dying. There'll be jobs changed. There'll be jobs lost. Be hair loss. Probably some weight. I'll find some weight that somebody else loses. But my God is eternal. And I really do declare that. Years ago, when that moved from just being something cool to say in church to being a reality, and when that uncertainty comes, and I feel it, but it doesn't change me. God's offering that today by abiding in His Spirit as you go mentally, as you go physically, as you go emotionally. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Where's the battle for one of those in your life today? Whose voice are you valuing the most to be displayed in your life? Whose voice are you really seeking? Whose heart are you really after? Who's been taking that you've been given permission way too long to keep taking? Is it a family member, a coworker? Is it a situation? There's about 25 things I do every morning before the face of God. I'm not going to tell you all 25 because I'm not going to be that personal with you. But I'll tell you about two or three. And that is, I do this. And I say, God, and I have a list of what's burdening me. And I'll say, it's yours. And I'm not giving you permission to give it back to me, God. And then I say this. What burden or burdens are you not intending me to give you so I don't have to do anything with them? But how are you teaching me to carry some of them? You see, there's a difference. How do I produce the fruit of the Spirit in the midst of life? I want to do what I do as He does what He's going to do, because we're doing it together. It just depends on what I'm going to handle on my own, or am I going to hand to Him? So I give you some questions. What needs to be crucified in your life? What lie? What work of the flesh? What garbage? What mental jungle gym are you playing in? What hurt in your heart is just controlling you? Walking with the Spirit today, are you abiding in the presence of Christ? And again, I stress this to you. I'm not talking about reading your Bible from cover to cover every day. I'm talking about experiencing the living, breathing presence of God in your life every day. The fruit of your life, is it of the flesh or the Holy Spirit? And lastly, how can you shepherd the sheep in your life if you're living by the flesh and not walking with the Spirit? I don't want us to make this a mountain of a challenge. I want us to make this a molehill of surrender. I want us to realize that God is very, very anxious to be in our lives more than ever. We started this sucker out sometime in January, as you go. Can you give Him one more piece of your heart? Can you give Him one more piece of yourself? Can you turn your mind over to Him? Can you give Him the hurts, the disappointments this morning? Think about the people that are watching, that if you never spoke a word and the fruit of the Spirit came out of your life on a consistent basis, constantly, what an impact it would be. Heard this story probably at least 50 times over the course of my life. And that is when Jesus gets a hold of somebody, one of their greatest witnessing tools would be, I went to work, and one of the first things people said to me was, they noticed I talked differently, but it wasn't because I talked about Jesus, it's because of all the other stuff I didn't say any longer. That I didn't look for ways to cut corners. That I didn't look for the third option, flesh, spirit. So this morning, how are you going to take ownership in walking in the Spirit and abiding in the presence of Christ in your life? Ownership as you go. I'm just going to begin to pray for us. If you were able to grab a card on your way in, I want you to go ahead and be putting down thanksgivings, praises, prayer requests. Today's a big day. Because God's Word says it's the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Get up tomorrow morning or take some time this afternoon and go, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. As I pray, let's just take a moment to listen for the voice of God and that tug, that nudge, that impression. And then after we do that, the altar will be open. All of us, usual guys, will be down here ready to pray with you. Altar is open. You can go get somebody else to pray. You can go back and stand in the corner and pray. Father, have mercy on us today. Father, you are a good Father. What is it you're saying to us, Lord? Your mercy. We need it so much today, Father. I can just sense we just need some mercy. We want your love. We need your love. Help us to abide in that love. Lord, just pour your Spirit upon us now. Our altar is open. You have your cards, your envelopes. You want to go ahead and bring these in the baskets that are down front. There's one in the back. Rick will be over there. Kathy and I will be up here. Dusty and Audrey will be over there to pray with. Like I said, the altar is open. You can go to whoever you want to and pray with them. How are you responding to what God is doing in your life today? If you haven't brought your cards or envelopes at this time, go ahead and do that. I pray you're responding to what God is saying to you today. If I could, I would plead. But all I can do is speak the truth, and that is God is a God of now. He's a God of now. He's doing things in the earth now. And I don't want to miss out. Leave this place, this building. The church is going forth. The kingdom of God is going forth. Father, may we impart life to those we come in contact with. Lord, I pray today that Jesus will reign and rule in all areas of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.